Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution to discuss most recently an article he's published at Real Clear Politics about multilateralism, which is now fresh to the Biden administration, and what we can call maxilateralism and micromateralism. The difference, as I understand it, may be between what is a large state initiative for an accord and what is a small state initiative for accord. Examples are the only way I can hold this in my mind. Peter's a veteran of the State Department, and so theory works for him, but I want an example. Abraham Accords looks to me like small state initiative for multilateralism. You could call it microlateralism because they're small states. Whereas the Iran deal of 2015, the JCPOA that is said to be under discussion for reawakening, looks like large state lateralism, multilateralism. Peter, have I said this in any fashion that resembles where you're going with this case? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. Yes, you have, but we have to introduce the errors that are common among diplomats, especially European diplomats and American progressives. Yes, the Abraham Accords, as you were laying out, represents an initiative that arises out of the interests of small states. A deal was reached initially with the Emirates, Bahrain, and Israel with the help of the United States, a big state helping small states. Iran involves big state-led diplomacy. But the problem is this. When most diplomats use the term multilateralism, they don't mean many-sided diplomacy, as the Latin roots suggest. What they mean is actually United Nations supremacy. In other words, what they mean is the supremacy of the UN and international organizations, so that if the United States is not signing on, is not participating in the WHO or the UN Human Rights Council or in the Paris Climate Accords, from the point of view of the usage of the term multilateralism by Europeans and American progressives, the United States is breaking away from multilateralism. And of course, that is, I think we'll agree, an abuse of language. Multilateralism should mean many-sided diplomacy, and therefore it should involve the whole variety of arrangements and associations and groupings that the United States might wish to be involved in or support.
You report that a new article at Foreign Affairs by Jared Cohen and Richard Fontaine, The Case for Microlateralism, advances some contradictions. For example, multilateralism has failed, or at least is challenged by some kinds of representations at the United Nations. The World Health Organization is an example. We'll concentrate on the WHO because it's much in the news. There's grave disappointment in the WHO for its conduct during the pandemic. Is that to be corrected with small state initiative, with walking away from large states? Because it seems resistance to reform. The UN is extremely resistant to change.
Yeah, I think that's right. So on the one hand, it seems to me one can still be a proponent of multilateralism and recognize the failure of specific international organizations. The WHO is one example. The UN Human Rights Council is another example. You know, the Obama administration spent 8 years arguing that it should stay in the United Nations Human Rights Council to help to reform it. Why did it need reform? Because the UNHRC was dominated by authoritarian powers and devoted something like 50%, maybe more, of its agenda to condemning a single state, Israel. Well, the Obama administration gave it 8 years, no success. there's a very good argument to be made that the effort to properly defend human rights and responsible American foreign policy involves breaking with the UNHRC, not because, as the Trump administration does, not out of a lack of interest in vindicating human rights. To the contrary, because you don't want to be associated with an organization that constantly betrays them.
So, Peter, then going forward, because the case for microlateralism appears to me to be a wonderful support for the Abraham Accords. Is that an ideal? The UAE and Bahrain, and we can name the other small states, taking what appears to be the initiative in solving an extremely challenging matter in the Middle East.
Absolutely, and on that particular point, I warmly embrace the arguments of Cohen and Fontaine. Abraham Accords is an excellent example of small states which rose to the occasion. They rose to the occasion because small states have certain advantages. They're more nimble. It's easier for them to act. They can operate to some extent beneath the conflicts of great power competition. Now, they may need help. They may need assistance. The United States came in and assisted those three countries, Bahrain, Emirates, and Israel. But the crucial idea in the Cohen-Fontaine article, and I think it's a correct idea, is that you shouldn't rely on either international organizations or the great powers to do everything. There are tasks, not only looking out specifically for their narrow commercial interests, that small states are good at, and big states like the United States should encourage such associations.
Another example you mentioned in your article is the Quad, U.S., India, Japan, and Australia. Does that qualify as microlateralism?
Well, in Fontaine and Cohen's usage, probably not, because all of the states are large states involved. This Indo-Pacific grouping involving the United States, India, Japan, and Australia. But I really want to broaden out their insight of microlateralism. Microlateralism is meant to refer to small countries, maybe with the assistance of large countries. I think it's better to think of in the spirit of Tocqueville when thinking about American civil society in the 19th century, who emphasized the art of association and the great variety of groupings that Americans formed to accomplish various tasks that individuals couldn't do alone and government didn't do well. So similarly, while the Quad is a grouping of four countries, none of them small, it is nevertheless a grouping below the United Nations or international organizations, but dealing with something, the economic and increasingly military challenge of China in the Indo-Pacific, that these four states have an interest in and have capabilities and have formed a grouping to deal with this specific challenge. It seems to me American diplomacy should be more oriented around such associations, let's say, which are formed within international civil society, the space between free and sovereign nation states and international organizations.
Peter, you mentioned two examples of conversations that don't go anywhere, G20 and UN Security Council. Is that a function of big statism in the 21st century, never make a decision that's not behind closed doors?
Well, it's a function, it seems to me, of all enormous organizations in general, and in this particular case, of the variety of interests that big nations bring to these groupings, and the inflexibility of these organizations. Therefore, it seems to me that we need to multiply the kinds of organizations and the arrangements we have. Again, I wouldn't do away with the G20, the G7, and others. What I want to do is multiply the kinds of arrangements, the kinds of organizations, the kinds of groupings we have to deal with specific tasks.
Peter Berkowitz at the Hoover Institution, the Tad and Diane Taubes Senior Fellow. He served as Director of Policy Planning at the U.S. State Department 2019 and 2020. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.